Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2020, and I haven't done one of these Fort Laramies in quite a while. And I just love this show. I think it's fantastic. And I talked about the writing and things many times. But I thought I'd talk a little bit about Raymond Burr and his whole Perry Mason that he was in and just how groundbreaking it was. So while this show was on the air, actually before this show was on the air, in 1955, on television, there was a breakthrough of shows that mostly came from the idea it came from radio, from Gunsmoke on radio. And I've talked about this, I've been talking about this a lot on my Gunsmoke intros. But I just thought I'd mention it here because it was interesting. I was reading about 1955 and the fact that the half hour Gunsmoke started up that year on television, and the half-hour legend, Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp, which was another adult Western that started. And the third adult Western that started is the one I find really interesting right now. It was Cheyenne, and Cheyenne was an hour-long Western. And it was the first hour-long television show with recurring characters that was a hit. And after that, in 56, of course, there started to be more things like that. But by 57, they introduced, well, the year after this show that you're listening to, Perry Mason was on Fort Laramie for the whole run. But during the run, he found out that he got the job playing Perry Mason. And he'd start playing Perry Mason in 1957. So it was one of the earliest hour-long programs. And to think that that format that Perry Mason, the Perry Mason show came up with the legal system, with the following of the characters and the crimes they commit and so forth, would continue into Columbo when that came out, McMillan and Wife, all these great shows, and up into lots of detective shows and things that were similar to this, all the way up into Monk and Psych and The Mentalist and all these different shows. I mean, it's just amazing how they can all trace back their ancestry into Perry Mason. So I just think it was neat that Raymond Burr got to be on both Perry Mason and on a Western, even if that Western wasn't on television, but a wonderful Western we can enjoy, the year before he became famous as Perry Mason, and later on as Ironside. Anyway, that's enough talk about that. I hope you enjoy this episode, and keep tuning in for more episodes of Raymond Burr in Fort Laramie.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
How long would you say you've known him, Patchen?
I had that proud honor, I guess. 8-10 years now. Of course, I ain't had the privilege of serving with him since the war.
I still don't see why you just don't go right up to him and make yourself known.
Well, I wouldn't intrude on the captain that way, Drury. He's a busy man, tracking engines, planning battles. Besides, just because I recollect him so well don't mean he'd remember me.
But he's a kindly man.
Oh, the time will come, the just right time. I'll acknowledge myself to Captain Lee Quince.
I'll bet you he'll be proud knowing you asked Special to serve under him again.
Maybe surprised, even. Of course, I've only been with the company a week now, but it seems to me the men hold him right high in their thought.
I ain't been here long myself, but there's not a man I know wouldn't lay down his life for Captain Quince, if need be.
Well, now, that's nice. I declare that's real nice. Captain ever talked much about the war, any of his experiences?
Well, like I say, I ain't been here long myself. But the men say he's not much for talk about anything.
Never was. Even when he was younger, when most men talk free, he was more for action than words.
Yeah. Funny, ain't it? How you can sense so much good feeling in a man without him talking much.
That's a funny thing, all right.
I like to draw duty with the captain. I sure do. I always have the feeling that no matter what, he's been thinking ahead, planning for us. I feel safe riding with the captain. Of
course, it's hard to tell what a man's thinking if you don't make his thoughts known.
It don't matter to me much what he's thinking, so long as he's acting good.
That's the big thing, how a man acts. This sure is different country out here. Different kind of fighting country, too.
How you mean?
We fought closer in the war. Like there'd be a stream here, you see?
Yeah.
Say it was a kind of clearing, you know. And on one side, the Rebs would be cowering in the trees. We'd be standing firm on the other side. Now, sooner or later, somebody's got to make a move for that water. The horses and for themselves. I tell you, you get thirsty. You get so you care more about water than living. Anybody's living.
Well, mostly, we're lucky out here. Seems like there's more creeks and
man's
streams.
Man's got a right to a drink when he's dry. More than dry, your insides get to feeling like sand, dust. Like though it's gonna crumble.
Patchen? What's the matter with you, Patchen?
You say something, Drury?
Ask if something was wrong.
Wrong, boy? No, nothing's wrong. I just get a thirst sometime.
You talked yourself dry. It ain't hot. We got plenty of water. There's a stream not 50 yards from you.
I know that, I know.
You were saying about the fighting being different in the war.
Yeah. Like I said, we fought closer. Man to man sometimes. A man to dismount, fix his saber to his carbine, and such a bloody slash in a way you never saw.
I ain't seen nothing like that in the West.
Out here, seems like you do more chasing than anything else. We've been tracking engines, how long, 2 days now? I ain't drawn my sights on one. Have you, Drury?
That ain't saying they ain't here. Somewheres. Captain Quince must think they're around.
Well, you know I'm not saying that. Why, there ain't a man among you come less near to criticizing the captain's judgment. Well, you're forgetting, boy. I know better than any of you what a great man he is.
Looks like they're campsite ahead, Mr. Seiberts. Must have made camp here last night.
Yes, sir. We've been just about a day behind them all the way, haven't we, Captain?
And it looks like we're going to stay that way. I'll say one thing for them. They pick good campsites.
Captain, it's the end of the fourth day. Didn't Major Daggett say if we could catch him in 4 days, fine, and if not, report back to Fort Laramie?
Yeah, those are the orders, Mr. Syberts.
Seems like a waste somehow. All this riding only to turn back.
One thing, we don't lose many men this way.
That's true, Captain.
They won't be the first who slipped off the reservation, got away with it. Sergeant!
Yo!
We'll make camp ahead at Bitter Creek.
Yes, sir. I guess we lost him, sir.
The Sioux? We never had him to lose, Sergeant.
No, sir.
I declare, Captain. I'm real sorry about that.
No harm done. You better get on with your job, Trooper.
Patchen's the name. That's if you don't remember.
I remember.
I kept hoping I'd bump into you, Captain, sir. Sure enough, I did.
You been with B Company long?
Just a week. I didn't want to bother you, seeing you was heading up this big engine chasing operation. I didn't see any engines myself, but the men keep telling me they must be somewhere around. Or Captain Quince wouldn't be out chasing them.
We're moving back to Fort Laramie starting tomorrow. When we get there, I'll see you get a transfer to another company.
Now, I'm sorry to hear you say that, Captain. I've been looking forward to this reunion longer than I can tell. Tell the truth, I thought you'd hold a higher rank by now, seeing men like Custer and McKenzie are generals. And you're their equal, I could swear to that. I've been telling them...
You got a job to do, Trooper. Better get on with it.
Is that an order, Captain, sir?
That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain.
Well?
I thought maybe you'd want to know. It didn't just happen my being in your company. I asked for this duty special. On account of us being such old friends.
I guess you remembered him all right, Captain.
When was that, Drury?
Patchen, sir. He was worried for fear you might not remember who he was.
That so?
I told him. I knew you'd recollect. You're just not the kind of man to forget a friend.
He's been talking to you a lot, Drury?
I'll put it this way, sir. I know you a lot better since meeting up with Patchen.
I wonder.
Well, I feel I do. The rest of the men, they feel like I do. We wasn't surprised to hear it exactly, but we sure didn't know you mapped campaigns for General Sheridan. General Cook, too. And all them acts of bravery when you led the
Trooper.
Charge.
Trooper?
Yes, sir?
You got duty with the mess sergeant, right?
That's right, sir.
Move out.
Yes, sir.
Captain, sir?
What is it, Gorse?
The camp's most bedded down, Captain. The pickets are out.
Who's on picket duty?
It's our last night out, sir. Corporal Jenkins used the rest of the patrol.
Who are they, Gorse?
Well, sir, he put Vickers and Culp up by the bend. Over the west, he's got Stevens and Holt. Then over south, Beale and Patchen.
I told Corporal Jenkins no picket duty for Patchen, and I meant it.
Captain...
No picket duty for Patchen. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Captain?
Mind if I say something, sir?
I mind if anybody says something, Mr. Seibert.
I just want to ask you why.
I wouldn't bother asking, Mr. Seibert.
It's about the men, Captain. I have the right to speak out about the men.
You've got the right.
They're tired, sir. They've ridden 4 days out, 3 days back. We've been moving like someone was chasing us. Only no one is.
Any other observations, Mr. Seibert?
Yes, sir. Everyone stood his turn at picket duty. Everyone but Patchen.
You're getting awful close to asking why again, Mr. Seibert.
I'm sure you have a reason, Captain. I hope it's a good one, because the men don't understand. I think we got a morale problem.
We won't have it long. We'll be back at the fort tomorrow.
Captain, if you'd like
Good night, Mr. Seibert.
That all you have to say, Captain?
It's clear. I'm asking for Patchen's transfer.
But you won't say why.
If you're talking about those forms you fill out, Major, put down for the good of company morale.
I'm interested in company morale. I've watched, I've listened to Lieutenant Seibert, I've talked to Sergeant Gorse. Now I'm going to ask you, Captain.
It's personal.
We haven't got room for personal quarrels, Lee. Oh, this is so little like you, I don't even believe it. Nobody who knows you believes it. You don't let these things happen.
We're going to talk about that transfer?
No, we're going to talk about morale. Well, suppose I transfer this man. What good would that do? You've got a company out there. They're going to be here whether Patchen's transferred or not. They watched this man get to you. As nearly as I can tell, he's been killing you with kindness.
That's what he's trying to do.
Why? Why?
He hates my guts. Goes way back.
No picket duty for Patchen. Why?
I like my camp safe when I'm in hostile territory, Major.
It'll be a lot of trouble to get his army record clear back to the war. But I'll go to that trouble, Lee, if you don't tell me.
I saved his life once. He's never forgiven me.
That's an odd thing to say.
It's the truth. I saved a lousy, gutless life. He knows it is. He lives with it.
He served under you?
I served under him.
Patchen was an officer?
Captain Joseph Patchen, New York Cavalry. It was before I knew you, Major. Remember the little wars? Us on one side of a stream, them on the other.
And both of you needing the water in between? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, 5 days and nights we sat there looking across at them, waiting. Just waiting. We had a little water. We could have held out. The men were doing fine.
He ordered a charge?
He didn't order anything. We just split wide open crazy. Took off after that stream before anyone knew what hit. The men thought it was a charge, him being in command. We lost half a company.
You hate his guts, too, don't you?
Every good man's got fear in him. I don't mind honest fear. I hate a coward, Major.
You were commissioned on the field, Lee. Was it there?
Yeah. He can't forget that either.
Surely he was relieved of his command.
Major Daggett, sir.
Sergeant Gorse.
Corporal of the Guard reports 2 deserters, sir. It's Patchen and Drury.
Pick your men, Sergeant. Fan out around the house. Check the barn.
Yes, sir. Holt, Vickers, cover the barn. You, Beale, Cup, the corral. Stevens and Fredericks. You, George, you come with me.
Afternoon to you, mister.
They trample that young wheat the army will owe me.
We didn't come here to trample your crop. We're looking for deserters.
New kind of grain, supposed to be special for the high plains. I put a lot of money in that grain. I want it to come up.
Two men, one just turned 20, the other older, my age or better.
I thought the army was for fighting Indians. Give that up, didn't they?
You need men to fight Indians, mister.
Don't look at me. I got enough trouble trying to prove up land like this. Didn't intend to ride off. I meant to stay with horses. Thought I could raise them. Good enough grazing land. Well, the Indians run the horses off. I'd get them grown strong on the grass. About that time, here they'd come. Indians.
You don't keep horses now?
A couple. They're not extra.
I'm going to have to look in your house, mister.
Well, I suppose you are. How many did you say you was looking for?
Two.
Brought quite a few soldiers along looking for two men. There's some kind of penalty for hiding soldiers who take a notion to run?
The army don't take kindly to it, mister.
Couldn't shoot a body, though, could you?
You've seen him?
You don't see many folks out this way. You and your soldiers are more than I've seen in months.
How long since you've been in Laramie Village?
Oh, a long time. I stay pretty close here. I knew you wouldn't find him here. Thought you'd want to see for yourself, though.
Captain, found this in the shed by the barn.
You prefer a cavalry saddle, mister?
I'm gonna have to find that out. Ain't used to it yet.
Did it help if we knew which way they headed when they left?
To tell you the truth, it's hard for me to think they was here at all.
Ah, let's go, Gorse.
The captain. His boots.
Sure, he's wearing cavalry boots, owns a cavalry saddle. But he hasn't seen anyone.
You trample that young wheat, I'll send the army a bill.
Going up to the house at all, Captain? Talk to him?
Yeah, talking to him didn't do any good.
Kind of a sniveling one. Kept wanting to know why the captain himself didn't come to him, ask the questions. He took it real personal, like.
The captain himself's about through talking. I come up against any more crawly settlers, Gorse, I'm apt to start breaking a few necks.
I'm feeling a little mean myself. 3 plates of warm grub sitting on his table. Him all alone in the house. He never heard of 2 deserters.
We'll find him.
Men want to awful bad. For you, Captain. That'd be some comfort.
That'd be some comfort, Gorse.
I sure feel bad about Drury. He was going to make a good trooper.
Yeah, I know. I thought sure Patchen would be out here near the stream. He gets an awful thirst sometimes. Let's check that barn again.
Yes, sir. There's only about 2 hours of daylight left. I hate to give them a night start in this country.
We're not going to.
Oh, Captain.
You, are the captain. Speak your mind, mister. We're busy. I'd, like to talk to you alone.
I'll check the barn, sir.
All right, talk. I've been sitting up in the house trying to remember. I ain't sure, but seems to me I read somewheres once that there was a reward for turning in deserters. Now, did I just dream that?
There's a $20 reward, mister.
Only $20?
$20.
Ain't very much, is it?
I don't suppose you're prepared to go any higher.
I'm not prepared to go that high, mister. But the army figures it's worth $20.
$20 a piece?
That's it.
Eight men looking for two men. And the total price on their heads is $40. Ain't no bargain, Captain.
It sure isn't. Total pay for the eight men looking is $4 a day. 50 cents a piece.
Is that all?
And the price isn't just for their heads, mister. We'd have to insist on the rest of them,
in
too.
In here, Captain.
He was in the loft. He called down to me, then he come down himself.
Patching up there too, boy?
No, sir. No, sir, he run. I don't know how far. I don't know how long ago. Captain, I don't know nothing.
You stay with him, Gorse. I'm going to find Patchen.
Yes, sir.
No, Captain. Don't you leave you. You hear me out, will you, please?
Sergeant Gorse will hear you out.
Patchen's got everything, Captain. He's got himself every kind of gun you ever saw. His and mine. All we could buy is steel. He's going to be waiting for you, Captain.
I hope he is.
You got to know my shame. It don't seem now it could have happened to me. It worked on me so slow, I didn't even know it was happening. But I know now. I feel all the ugly shame of it.
Talking's not much good now, Drury.
I ain't talking to save myself, Captain. I know that ain't right. I know it can't be. I'm talking to understand. And for you to know, I'm crawling with the shame of it.
The crawling's uglier than the shame, boy. I'm alone, Patchen.
That'd be your way, wouldn't it? Big, brave, alone. You must be the bravest man there is, Quince.
Come on down, Patchen.
I ain't coming down. I waited too long for this. I'm staying right here, and you're staying right there.
You got plenty of water?
Understand, I ain't aiming for you, Quince. I'm just trying out my arsenal. That was my pistol.
You're never going to last without water, Patchen.
I've got two canteens, mine and Drury's.
You could hit me if you tried good. You got a reason for not killing me, Patchen?
That last was my rifle. I got me a buffalo gun off the settler, blow you clean away. You wouldn't even leave no spot, Quince.
Come on down.
We're gonna do this slow, Captain. Just you and me. Maybe my shots will get a little closer to you from time to time. We'll keep it slow a while. I want you to die a long time, Quince. 5 days and 5 nights of dying. Remember, Quince?
I remember. You want me to die, all right. Long time of dying. But you aren't the man to kill me, Patchen.
You ain't coming after me. You ain't that brave, Quince.
Don't take a brave man to come after you, Patchen. Just takes a man.
I hated you a long time. If I have to do, I could hate you dead.
You hate yourself, Patchen. Wouldn't feel good killing me. You'd still have yourself.
You're gonna kill me? That what you coming to do? kill me. Please. Please don't kill me.
I'm not gonna kill you, Patchen. Wouldn't feel good. Killing a coward. Get up.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Paul Duboff, James Nusser, and Herb Vigran. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Seiberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Each year, new automobiles come equipped with new and better devices for safety and comfort. But there's one device for comfort and safety that you'll have to manufacture for yourself, no matter how advanced our technology becomes, and that device is a smile. A sense of humor and a friendly attitude toward other drivers on the highway is sure to earn courtesy and consideration in return. And courtesy and consideration are big safety factors on the highway. Check the gas, the oil, and make sure you've brought along your smile. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Ah, morning, Kitty.
Well, you're out early today.
I'm a working man. I have to keep regular hours.
Then what were you doing at the Long Branch at 2 o'clock this morning?
Well, sometimes it's a regular 24 hours, just like you. Well,
at least I make good money at it.
Kitty, would you really like to see me settle down and run a saloon?
You might get to like it.
All right, I'll do it.
When?
But I'm about 50.
I thought so.
Good morning, Miss Kitty.
Oh, hello, Chester.
Here's a letter for you, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, thanks, Chester.
The envelope says it's from Judge Rambo over in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
Anything important?
Yeah, it's a court order for eviction. Yeah. Seems Brandon Teak didn't file legally on his land over by Wagon Mountain.
Did you say Brandon Teak?
How do you know him, Kitty?
Everybody knew him, Ron Abling.
Yeah, he had a pretty bad reputation then, I guess.
Doesn't he still?
Well, I haven't seen him for some time, but he's married now, and he's trying to prove up some land.
Well, I don't envy you trying to put him off us. Brandon Teak never shoved very easy, that I recall.
Well, we'll ride out there this afternoon, Chester.
Be sure your gun's loaded, Matt.
Yeah, well, maybe I won't need it, Kitty.
Want to bet?
No, I guess not.
You ask me, Teak's gone and built himself a mighty nice place out here, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he's doing fine. Hello, Teak.
Hello, Marshal. Chester.
How are you, Teak?
What brings you out this way?
Well, here, you might as well read it yourself.
What's this? Court order. Immediate eviction. What's this all about, Marshal? I got my deed to this place.
Yeah, but you failed to register it at the land office, T.
Nobody told me about that.
I'm sorry.
You'll be a whole lot sorry you try to put me off this land, Marshal.
Brandon, who are you talking to?
You stay inside, sir. It ain't nothing.
Then it won't hurt if I come out.
This is my wife, Marshal Dillon and Chester Proudfoot.
How do you do, Mr. Dillon?
Is there trouble, Brandon?
They say we got no legal right to this place, Sarah. I didn't register the deed or some fool thing.
Oh, no.
Now, don't you worry. Ain't nobody gonna move us off, law or no law.
It's a court order, Teak.
I ain't wore a gun since I got married, Marshal, but I can sure go put one on.
We're going to have a child, Marshal. Most any day now.
And we ain't moving. We ain't starting over again.
Oh, if we have to, we can do it. I'd rather die and see you go to fighting again, Brandon. Now you think on it.
It's a hard thing for a man to swallow, but I can't go again. I ain't putting on my gun.
Now, why don't you go in and tell her that?
When'll I tell her we got to get off the place?
Oh, there's no hurry.
What about that immediate eviction?
Well, I'll be responsible for that.
Well, I guess I ought to be grateful to you.
No, Teak, not to me. Well, goodbye.
Bye, Marshal. Chester.
Bye, Teak. When are you going to put him off, Mr. Dillon?
I'm going over to Wichita, Chester. I'll find out there.
You've heard Bobby Haggard whistling it on radio and television. Right now, a country-style version. Okay, partners?
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better.
And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Judge.
Marshal Dillon, what are you doing in Wichita?
Well, I came to see you.
Oh, that's so?
It's about that court order you sent me, Judge.
Which court order, Marshal?
The one to evict Brandon Teague off his land near Wagon Mountain.
Oh, that. Uh-huh. Yes, yes, I remember. What's the trouble? Is he putting up a fight?
No, he isn't.
Well, he sure must have changed. I remember Teague around here. He was a wild one.
Well, he's married now, Judge. As a matter of fact, they're expecting a child any day.
A child?
Mm-hmm. So, I told him that they could take their time about moving.
Take their time?
Yeah.
That order was to evict them at once, Marshal.
Yeah, I know that, Judge.
There's no room for sentiment in the law, Marshal Dillon. What's right is right, and what's legal is legal.
Look, Judge, Teague's been on that land for over a year. How come this business about failing to register his deed just came up?
It was only recently brought to my attention.
And who brought it to your attention?
Lee Sprague. Not that it makes any difference.
Lee Sprague, huh? Yes. He owns a lot of land around Wagon Mountain, doesn't he?
And he's filed on this. There's nothing irregular about it, Marshal, if that's what you're thinking.
Legally, I'm sure everything's correct, Judge.
You can't argue with facts, Marshal. Now stop being a sentimental fool and go do your duty.
Brandon Teague's a changed man, Judge. He's done more than prove up that land. He's proved himself up, too.
Homestead Act, 1862, paragraph 12. After 1 year, if the deed to such land is not duly recorded at the nearest government office...
Oh, never mind, Judge. I know how it reads.
Well, then start acting like it. I can hold even a United States Marshal in contempt of court, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, sure you can. You got a lot of power, Judge. But there's only one thing wrong.
And what's that?
You never learned how to use it. Marshal Dillon. I want to talk to you, Sprague.
Come in.
Thank you.
How'd you know I was in Dodge today?
I found out. It's about Brandon Teague, Sprague.
Something wrong?
No, not legally. Judge Rambo made that pretty clear.
Want to tell me what's bothering you, Marshal?
Yeah, sure. I think Brandon Teague deserves that land more than you do.
Marshal, I'm in the land and cattle business, and I'm making out mighty well. No man can accuse me of ever doing anything illegal or dishonest. But everybody knows I practice sharp, and I'll go on practicing sharp, too.
Even against a man like Teague, who's hung up his gun and settled on and tried to make a life for him and his family?
What do you mean, his family?
Well, there's a child coming any day now.
And he's better off in town, Marshal.
What?
My wife stayed in the country. That's why I lost her. Looks to me I'm doing Teague a favor.
You got an awful easy conscience, Sprague.
No use arguing, Marshal. You got your order. Now go put him off.
No, Sprague, I'm not going to do it.
What?
I couldn't hold my head up if I had any part of the kind of law you and Judge Rambo want.
You mean that?
I do.
I ain't gonna let you stand in my way, Marshal. You're in for trouble.
Is Brandon Teak and his Mrs. Bull talking that fellow, Mr. Dillon?
You recognize him, Chester?
No, sir, I don't. He's a stranger to me. Looks like they're all head up over something, don't it?
Yeah.
Miss Teak hadn't ought to be standing out in the heat of the day this
way.
We'll
let Marshal Dillon settle this, Haley.
He's got nothing to do with it no more.
Ma'am.
How do you do, Marshal?
What's the trouble here, Teak?
You told me there was no hurry about our leaving, Marshal.
Wait a minute. Where'd you get that badge, mister? Who are you?
I'm Jim Haley, Marshal. Deputy Sheriff from Wichita.
Wichita? Well, how'd you get here?
I took the Santa Fe to Dodge, then I rented me a horse.
Answer me, Haley.
Judge Rambo sent me. I guess he felt the law needed a little enforcing down this way.
He's got a court order, Marshal, just like the one you had.
It's plumb legal. And I want you people to pack up and be out of here by tomorrow.
Just a minute, Haley.
I can take care of him, Marshal.
No, Brandon, there'll be no fighting.
Now, sir,
You ain't gonna do nothing except move, Teak, and right now.
No!
So, woman, you let go my arm!
Sarah!
Now, wait a minute, Marshal. She shouldn't have grabbed my arm like that. I was only trying to...
Get his gun, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Is she hurt, Teak?
You all right, Sarah?
I'll be all right.
She only grabbed his arm. He's gone and hurt her, Marshal, flinging her off like that.
Chester.
Yes, sir.
Jump on your horse and ride for Dodge, huh? Tell Doc to get out here. Fast.
Doc never coming out of that house.
Yeah. It's been a long time, hasn't it?
She shouldn't have grabbed me. I didn't mean to hurt her.
Haley, why don't you keep quiet? Nobody wants to hear from you.
Look, Mr. Dillon, there's Doc.
Huh?
You don't look none too happy.
Well, Doc?
The baby's dead, Matt.
Oh, my.
That's too bad.
Well, I didn't do it. I only pushed her a little.
I told you to shut up, Haley.
There wasn't a chance of saving the baby. It's her I've been working on. And she's going to be all right now, Matt.
Yeah. Well, good for that anyway.
Hey, Doc, tell you, Marshal?
Hey, yeah, Teak. I'm sorry to hear it.
I'm sorry, too, but you can't blame me for
it. Haley, I just now promised my wife I wouldn't kill you. Don't make me break it.
Come on, Haley. I'm taking you to Dodge with me.
Hey, now, look here. Ain't you forgetting I'm a lawman, too, Marshal?
I'd like to forget it. It doesn't make me very proud of being one.
I come here to do a job, and I'm going to do it.
I promised her I wouldn't kill you now, Haley, but you come back here, and I promise you I will. A man can only take so much.
I'll be back.
No, you won't. I'm throwing you in jail for a while.
Jail?
Teak, as soon as your wife's better, you come see me, huh? I don't know what I can do, but things aren't going on this way.
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your kitchen? Getting ready for Sunday supper? Maybe in your living room, relaxing? Or out driving? Say, be sure and watch the road. But remember, there's pleasure ahead when you smoke Chesterfield. When you satisfy yourself with Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. It stands to reason. A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Hello, Chester.
Hello, Doc.
Where's Matt, Chester?
In the office, talking to Lee Sprague.
Sprague? It's a little late to be talking to him, isn't it?
I'd say so. You sure Brandon Teak's coming to Dodge today, Doc?
That's what he told me. There's a neighbor woman staying with his wife. Not that she really needs anybody now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
It's only been a week, but she's a strong woman. Well, here we are.
Huh? Yeah, oh, my God, he did come.
Hello, Doc. Chester.
Well, hello, Teak. How's the patient?
She's pretty good, Doc. Being awful brave about it, but I know how she feels.
Only time will cure that.
I guess so.
Mr. Dillon's in the office, Teak. He wanted you to go right on in when you got here.
Okay. Oh, hello, Teak. Come on in. You know Lee Sprague?
Yeah, I know him.
Hello, Teak.
Sprague and I were over at the land office this morning. I think we got everything straightened out.
What do you mean?
Here. Take a look at this.
What is it?
That's a deed to the land you're on, Teak, and this time it's legally registered.
Yeah, sure. In your name.
That's right.
You help him with this, Marshal?
Well, I wanted to be sure that there weren't any loopholes, Teak.
You know, if it wasn't for my wife, you people would have to shoot me off that place.
Teak, I want to tell you something.
Ain't you said enough, Sprague?
No. Now, listen. I'm a greedy man, Teak, and I'll take anything I can get, legally. But Marshal Dillon here has been talking pretty hard to me lately.
Sure, and I've been listening to him, too.
I guess I'd have gone right on, and I could have, till I heard about your baby.
Why should that matter to you?
I lost my son, Teak. But I lost my wife, too.
Are taking my land going to help you?
You tell him, Marshal.
He's not taking your land, Teak.
That deed's in his name, ain't it? Didn't you go along to be sure he didn't make any mistakes?
There aren't any mistakes this time. Sprague can deed that land to anybody he wants to now. All clear. And it's yours.
I'm not giving it to you. It's yours anyway.
I'll tell Sarah. And I'll tell her she was right all along about not fighting.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Marshal? Ain't there going to be trouble, you jailing a deputy sheriff?
Well, as soon as he gets back to Wichita, I suppose there might be some trouble, yeah. But don't you worry about that, Teak. I've always wanted to see California anyway.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. What's your idea of vacation pleasure? Mountains? Seashore? Lake? Wherever you go, here's an idea for your smoking pleasure. Take along a couple of cartons of Chesterfields. Chesterfields are firm, packed full, give you full-time flavor that's bound to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable. Vacation Bound by Chesterfields, by the carton. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, on the frontier, a horse thief was often caught and hung because someone else's brand was on the animal he'd stolen. But next week, a man is hung because his horse has no brand at all. But that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Vic Perrin, Helen Klebe, Paul Dubov, and Will Wright. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.